And we really pushed the context on that last week and emphasized the context that he's talking to the apostles. He's telling them, not long from now, you are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was a promise of the Father. And those passages were where I gave you three chapters and told you really need to be familiar with those, one verse from each chapter at least, all from the book of John. Remember, John 14, 15, and 16, he's talking to the apostles. And that conversation really begins in chapter 13, but he's talking to the apostles and telling them that they are going to receive the Holy Spirit and tells them what the work of the Holy Spirit would be. So begin with verse 6 in our study, and we'll at least hopefully get down through verse 8. Notice, when they therefore were come together, they who? The apostles. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? When the apostles asked the Lord, wilt thou at this time? What is this time in reference to? What are they asking him about? Now, obviously, they've got a misconception about what the Lord is has told them and what he's getting ready to say. Wilt thou at this time? What time? We're going to talk about power in just a moment. What time? Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, he had just told them what? You shall wait for the promise of the Father, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What was their misconception, evidently? As many of them was. A misconception concerning the kingdom, we're going to talk about that some in the sermon this morning. But a misconception concerning the kingdom, some evidently had the idea of what? That when the Messiah came, he was going to
make a physical
kingdom. Yeah, he's going to make a physical kingdom. And he will get us out from under the weight of Roman rule. And wilt thou again restore the kingdom to Israel. But notice, and we see the misconception that individuals had going to places like John chapter 6 and in verse 14. What happened in John 6 and in verse 14? I think I mentioned this to you last week. John 6, verse 14. John 6 and in verse 15. What did Jesus say? When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and do what?
Take him
by force and make him a king. Escaped and went out of their midst. And so we see that in John chapter 6, verse 15. And then as Jesus is before Pilate in John 18:36, what does he say? Remember what they accused the Lord of. They accused the Lord of blasphemy before the Jewish council. What further need have we? We've heard him speak blasphemies ourselves. He said that he's the Son of God. But when they took him to Pilate, what was the accusation? Not blasphemy. Rome didn't care about blasphemy. They were caught up in idolatry. If you didn't like one God, go get another. They didn't care about that. But they did care about what? This man maketh himself a king. And so they cared about treason. And so the argument went from blasphemy to treason when he was before Pilate. But art thou so? Art thou a king of the Jews? Thou sayest it. In John 18:36, my kingdom, here's the point I want you to see, as they were, many of them were looking, no doubt, for a physical kingdom. Jesus said, my what? My kingdom is not of this world. What does that mean, not of this world? Not physical. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered, or that I should be delivered from the Jews? When I read John 18:36 and read the Lord saying, then would my servants fight, it takes my mind back to a particular time when one of the apostles attempted to fight. Who was that? What was the context of that?
Simon Peter.
Yeah, Simon Peter, what did he do, Jim?
Cut off his right ear.
Yeah, cut off the right ear of one of the servants, and came out to arrest him, and the Lord didn't tell him, go ahead and get the other ear. What did he say?
He put it back on.
Yeah, he healed the man, and he told Peter, put up thy sword into its place. And so, it was a kingdom of peace, and the Old Testament prophesied concerned that, but not a physical kingdom, not one of where folks were going to be rebellious and fighting and want of war. Of course, we are in a battle. But what kind of battle? Spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, when he talks about put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers of darkness and wickedness and so forth, principalities, and rulers of darkness. A spiritual battle.
But how long did there be a misconception of the people? Did not the Old Testament tell what kind of kingdom Christ was going to have?
Yeah, I think so. See, in the book of Isaiah, the book of Daniel, a lot of those passages that did.
Everlasting kingdom. And so you have to have some. If Christ was going to be physical king, then he was going to live forever. And as a physical person. I think that's what Daniel talked about. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom.
That's right.
This conception that the physical kingdoms come and go.
And you think about not just relative to the kingdom, but how many misconceptions they had about other things, about marriage, about the resurrection. And yet they had the Old Testament scriptures. The Sadducees read the same scriptures the Pharisees did, but yet they still didn't understand them. Do you not err not knowing the scriptures? You do err, rather, knowing the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. So, and that's a good point. As we read the scriptures, take for example the New Testament. We know what the Bible says. We can read it for ourselves, and yet you think about the vast teaching that's done today in the religious world. It's not in harmony with what the Bible says, and they read the same Bible we do. So, just because we have the Bible doesn't mean that we cannot miss the mark. The only way that we won't miss the mark is if we study the Bible and rightly divide it and make application of it. Good thought. Any other thoughts about that? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And that in itself is a lesson for us, that there may be things that we don't know, but we only know what God has revealed to us, Deuteronomy 29:29. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. The faith which once and for all time has been delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. There may be questions that we don't have an answer to. God may not have given us an answer in the Bible for a question that someone may ask. But for every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Here's what I want you to think about. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now remember, when the cloud received him out of their sight, and he went back to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's not the end of his teaching, because we talked about that in verse 2. After that is after he went back to the Father, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he continued to teach. when he went back to heaven, but it was hell. I gave you that sheet last week, Chain of Revelation. It was through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. And so, that's what he's telling them. Ye shall receive power. When are they going to receive power? After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, why is that significant for us to think about and understand this idea about you're going to receive power? When is the power going to come? Say that again. Good job. Yes, good. Good for you. After the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But there's something else, not only just this power. When the Holy Spirit came, what were they going to be able to do? You're going to receive power. What power? Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. But now what were they going to be able to do that other people was not going to be able to do? They were going to be able to do miracles.
Pin down God's word directly to him.
I'm talking about signs, revelation. You can list all those, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But they were going to receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and this power was going to enable them to be what? According to that verse. And ye shall be
witnesses.
Now testify, that the religious world just absolutely misuses both of those words, witness and testify. So they were what kind of witnesses?
They were eyewitnesses of Christ.
Yeah, they were eyewitnesses. Today you have folks, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I don't say that unkind, but folks who blunt the word Jehovah's Witness, well, they didn't witness Jehovah. And testify. What is it? What's testify? You shall be a witness unto me. You can testify. What does it mean to testify? The Bible talks about testimony.
To give account of what you've said.
Yeah, to give an account. They were qualified to give account of what they had seen because they saw it. And because of the power which came upon them. But if someone said, for example, if you were in the first century and the apostles preached a lesson or said they were of God or whatever the case may have been, how would you know that?
They would prove it by their miracles.
Because of the power that they had. Proved. The Bible uses the word confirmed. To confirm something is to sure it up. It's sure, it's confirmed. And the Bible talks about the fact that the gospel, the word, was confirmed by signs that followed them. And so they used the power that came upon them when the Holy Spirit came upon them to confirm the word with miracles and signs and so forth. It wasn't just take our word for it. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, my presence among you was not with words of wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think it's unfair when someone today claims to have what the apostles did to ask them to demonstrate it. Do you? Demonstrate it then. Oh, you're tempting God. No. But if it was to confirm, if it was folks saw it and therefore they believed it, if I don't believe it, then why don't you show me that I might believe? Folks in the Bible believed when miracles were worked. Not everybody, but many of them did. And remember, we went through the book of John, evidences of belief. And how many times in John he talks about they believed on him when they saw the things that was being done. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So they had power to preach the gospel by revelation, inspiration. Miracles and the signs that they did, they were eyewitnesses that were going to give an account. They confirmed the word with those signs. I think about, if you want some verses for that, Mark 16, verse 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, the apostles, They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with him, confirming the word with signs following. And then over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, someone read for us, if you will, verses 1 through 4. Notice this idea about the word being confirmed, and how it was confirmed.
Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, there is transgression, disobedience receiveth just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if you make so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both the signs, the wonders, divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, as according to his will.
Think of how much is stated in those four verses concerning revelation. To give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You're talking about the ability of apostasy. He's writing to Christian people. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and so forth, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Great salvation, what's that in reference to? What great salvation? Yeah, the gospel, the blessings we have in Christ. The fact that we can be saved. If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. They were eyewitnesses, ear witnesses. They heard him, they both saw, and they heard. It's confirmed unto us by them. Well, I want to know how it was confirmed unto us by them. What's the next verse say? God also bearing them witness. Not you, not me, bearing them. Them who? The ones that were ear witnesses, eye witnesses, that heard the Lord. God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. That's how the word was confirmed, by those that heard him. First began to be spoken of by the Lord, but confirmed unto us by them that heard him, by the miracles and so forth that he did. The miracles that the apostles did in the book of Acts was for confirmation of the word. Can you think of times when it... We'll save that for another study. I'll ask you the question, you can think about it. Times when individuals had infirmity but were not healed of the apostles and left in their sickness. Just think about that. It wasn't for personal gain. It wasn't for just the fact of healing somebody so somebody doesn't have to be sick. It was for confirmation of the word. That was a point that was behind it. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon me, or upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And they were able to do those things. But before we talk about this order of being a witness, which is significant in the book of Acts, because it confirms what the Lord said to them in chapter 1. When you go through and you look at the order in which they went, there's one other point I want you to see relative to power. We know that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came. They would be able to do these things and to go forth and fulfill the terms of the Great Commission. There's one other thing connected with power and the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit that I want you to see. Who knows what it is? It doesn't come to fruition until chapter 2, but I want you to see it as we're talking about power right now. What was established in Acts chapter 2? I know you know the answer to those questions I just asked. But you may be thinking, I'm not sure what he's after.
Church and then they started speaking in tongues. Is that what you're
doing? Now they began speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, and folks obeyed it. I want you to notice the connection to what the Lord said back in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. This idea of power. So I want to read that for us if you don't mind to do that. We'll finish up with this thought. Mark chapter 9, verse 1.
It says there will be some sin there which will not taste death until the seed of the kingdom comes.
Good. There's some of you not going to die. The King James verse says, taste of death. Some of you not going to die till you see. We've already established it wasn't a physical kingdom. It wasn't something that we're going to be able to look physically and see. But till you see, it's going to come to pass in your lifetime, the kingdom, right? But notice this. The kingdom come with power. If we can identify when the power came, then can we identify when the kingdom came?
Yes.
Yeah, we can. Because if he said the kingdom would come with power, if I can isolate and I can see when the power came, then would I have not be able then to see when the kingdom came or was established? Well, yes, I could. And that takes place when? We're not going to jump too far ahead, but for sake of our conversation here, in Acts chapter 2. Yeah. Ye shall receive the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And so, on the day of Pentecost, which was not many days hence, they went back to the city of Jerusalem. They tarried there until they were endued with power from on high. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the Lord said in Mark 9:1 that the kingdom would come with power. So if power came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, then what came? The kingdom, right? Now, how do I know that's the case? How do you know that's the case? Do you follow what I'm saying about the kingdom and power, or did I just make it muddy? You're not going to die until you see the kingdom of God come with power. So, if we can find out when power came, then we know when the kingdom came. They received power in Acts chapter 2. How do we know the church was established in Acts chapter 2? Very simple.
They were added to it.
Folks were being added. You can't be added to something that's not in existence. That's one of the death blows to this premillennial idea in the world today. And when Jesus is going to come back, he's going to establish a kingdom that he was not able to establish when he was here the first time because the Jews didn't allow him to establish it and he just gave the church to do in the interim. Well, that's not true. How could you be a member of the kingdom if the kingdom's not yet set up? Is the kingdom set up? Acts 2, verse 47, the church, which is the kingdom, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Paul wrote about the fact that they were in the kingdom. Colossians 1:13, he's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, am your brother in tribulation, patience, and in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How could he be their companion? That means a co-participant in something. If that's something is not in existence. And then Hebrews chapter 12 talks about Hebrews 12 and then verse 28. We having received therefore a what? A kingdom. So we're in the kingdom of Christ which that he rules over, which is the church. So we know the church was established when the power came in Acts chapter 2 and they were being added to it. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's going to be interesting when you go through the book of Acts, especially when you look at Acts 8 and Acts 18, how that others had the ability to do miracles. gifts of the Holy Spirit, which was given to them how? Say it again. Yeah, laying on of the apostles' hands. Remember, I mentioned to you one of the good reasons to study the book of Acts was the many times that religious error was refuted. You can't read through the book of Acts and miss that point unless you have blinders on and just want to miss the point. But, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now that impresses me. Some may look at it and say, well, that just don't matter. It's just insignificant. Well, you might think it's even significant, but I don't think it is. Ye shall be witnesses of me, both in, where? When were they witnesses of the Lord in Jerusalem? Were they? Yes. When more?
Yeah, I was asking, I didn't understand your question.
Yeah. Were the apostles witnesses of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem?
Yes.
He said they were going to be. When did they witness of Him in Jerusalem? First. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So, you check that one off. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. Again, in Jerusalem. And he talked about Judea. When were they witnesses of the Lord in Judea? Where is Judea? Jerusalem was a town. Judea was, go ahead, Judah. Good job. That was an area around Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in Judea. And so were they witnesses of Him in Judea? They sure did. In places of Jerusalem and elsewhere, you get to Acts chapter 8, persecution against God's people. And where did they go? Now, notice this, a point right before that. Yes, that's where they went with Samaria. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Notice verse 4. Or 1, and then we'll go down to 4. Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and where? Samaria. What were they doing? Preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and they obeyed. And then, but he said unto all the world, unto all the world. Well, we can establish Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. What about all the world? Did they really witness of the Lord and all the world? Yes. Well, that's an impossibility. Okay, you're trying to jump from first century to a populated earth in the 21st century. Did they do what the Lord said that they were going to do? Yes. How do I know that? It's all right. Remember the in the outline that I gave you? The second part of the book of Acts was dealing with primarily the work of who? Of Paul going out on what we call missionary journeys, spreading the gospel. There's two verses I want you to think of when you think about being a witness of the Lord and all the world. I'll give you 30. First one is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he said, he summed up the chapter by saying, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So go and teach all nations. And then Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. I give two more. In the book of Colossians chapter 1. And here's how we know. So Matthew 28, Mark 16, they were given the commandment. Acts chapter 1, the Lord says, you're going to be witnesses of me. We see them doing that in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 8. Now watch this in Colossians chapter 1. Two times in the first chapter, someone read for us verse 6. Or verses 5 and 6.
because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth.
Did verse 6 say that the gospel has come not only unto them, but unto all the world? Yes or no? Yes, good. Now watch chapter 1 and in verse 23. You want to read that one too, Tim?
If, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
According to that verse, was the gospel preached to every creature which is under heaven? Now, yes, that's what the verse says. Somebody said, well, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. Okay, what's the point? The point is that the gospel went to all the world, but the Lord said to the apostles that they would be witnesses of him to all the world. That's the point. Just like the Lord said. And I think that's significant. I don't think it's insignificant. I think Mark pointed that out last week or the week before about they went back to Jerusalem. In
Acts 19, you know, when Paul went out, took advantage of the open door that was presented to him, opportunity. He ended up staying 2 years, 3 months there, preaching to all of Asia.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good point. Good. Any other thoughts, comments? So then verse 9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. We've got at least two things in general that we're going to cover in the rest of Acts chapter 1. And one is the fact that Jesus is coming again. I won't spend a lot of time on that. We've talked about that many times before. And then two is replacing Judas with Matthias. And that'll get us through Acts chapter 1, however many lessons that takes. Any thoughts or comments? Our time's come and gone. I appreciate your good attention.